school teacher, deacon, or a Christian seeking to know God's Word, call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for more information. CTU, training ministry workers since 1982. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that should be of interest to every Christian, every conservative, every patriot. What happens when a nation forgets God? What happens when a nation says no to God? What is it that takes place? The scripture is very clear in Psalms 9:17. We read the warning that God gives. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations, hear me, that forget God. Turning our backs on God. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a vacuum that is left when we turn our backs on God. There's a vacuum that's left in the classrooms across America when God's word is left out. There's a vacuum that is left in our civil government when, as Jerry Nadler said just a few years ago, the Bible has no place in the halls of Congress. There's a vacuum that's left when a nation says there's hundreds of genders and God's word says there's only male and female. There's a vacuum that is left when we turn our backs on God. It's going to be filled with something. And I believe we're witnessing the demonic influence today that is tearing away at the very warp and woof of society. Let's talk about the fabric of our nation. I believe Lily's on the line. Go ahead, Miss Lily.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. And we give God thanks for your courage and faithfulness in standing up and speaking up in these times. Hey. I agree with you fully that the nation, yes, as you said, turn its back on God, is really facing the wrath of God. There's no other way, no other option. We reject the grace of God and really looking for his wrath. Oh, my God. But I'm fully convinced that the burden of what we know, what we need to do, what the nation needs to do, because God is a God of mercy and long-suffering and patience. And if we turn, would the nation need to wake up and turn around and, you know, turn away from the evil and turn back to the path of walking with God in obedience? We need to turn around. But the burden of this turning around is with the church, the people of, yes, God. I verily believe that the failure where America is today has been the largely or unfaithfulness, the church, the so-called church, we should say probably. But the church has neglected its responsibility of being the salt and light and really standing up. The church has been, a failure. And now we are where we are, and the burden of the turning around is not the unbelievers as such, it's the church. If the church would wake up, if believers would wake up today and we get the type of a revival that we would need, that's the only answer to where we are. And we are praying for that and trusting God that believers would wake up. but we realize we are in a serious position. We are experiencing, we have experienced it. We see the grace of God, His mercy, in right up to where we are now, because we are on the edge of going under. All the powers of darkness is surrounded this nation for destroying, for going down. And we are experiencing the time of reprieve, His grace and mercy at this time. But if the church don't wake up and to really take the advantage of the opportunity we have now to join with those who are speaking up for rejecting the path we have been going on and turning around to righteousness and holiness and to God.
Lily, you're exactly right, and the key to it is, I believe Christians have, for the past 70 years in particular, there's been silence from pulpits. There's been a rebellion, a rejection against God's word, in that the mindset has been, we're simply not going to be salt and light. We want to fill the pews. I call it the numbers, nickels, and noses mindset that most pastors have had. I believe the mindset ought to be today that we're going to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. We're going to be salt and light that God's called us to be. We're going to go back, and if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I heal their land. Our land needs healing today as never before. And it's, as you said, it's left up to the church, to the Christian, to the ones that are the spiritual leaders in our nation, to recognize the condition and to recognize that we're witnessing anarchy and call it for what it is rather than being silent. And so it takes the tenacity that we see in President Trump to lead us, but at the same time, we can't totally abandon our responsibility as Christians and as churches and as pastors simply by saying, well, we've got a good president, now he's going to do the job. He's faced with, I think the last thing was like 480 lawsuits now against him he's trying to carry out the task that God has placed him there for. So we need to pray for him, pray for our nation, and recognize the demise of America is on the horizon unless we understand where we are, speak up, stand up, and ask God to intervene. Lily, you're exactly right. Thank you so much for your call today. And God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What say you? I'm looking at a headline, and it's about the event of yesterday. New York City gunman appeared to have grievance against the NFL. Went to the wrong elevator bank in deadly rampage, the mayor says. The shooting spree of the New York City skyscraper left multiple people dead. The gunman, who stormed the high-rise building in the heart of New York City on Monday evening, was trying to target the NFL headquarters but took the wrong elevator bank, according to the mayor of New York. The gunman identified, and I'll leave his name out, accidentally, this writer says, entered the wrong elevator bank. He said he went to the wrong floor where Rubin Management was located. Adams, that's the mayor, added that the government alluded to having suffered from a chronic ailment called CTE and that he had a grievance against the NFL. He seemed to have blamed the NFL, the mayor said. The NFL headquarters was located in the building, and he mistakenly went to the wrong elevator, blah, 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 blah. How do we know, ladies and gentlemen, that he went to the wrong elevator? How do we know that that was a mistake? How do we know now factually that it can be publicized factually that his problem was with some acute illness as a result of playing football, and so he blamed the NFL? How do we know that? That's all hypothetical conjecture at this point. The bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, it is, let me just postulate a question. Is it possible that he had witnessed people like Mayor Bass in L.A. confronting law enforcement and confronting ICE and saying no and marching with the demonstrators? Could it be that he had watched some of the demonstrations at Columbia University, Harvard University, and the other main universities where they are basically challenging law enforcement and camping out on the at the entrances of the universities and having their way with it, saying death to Israel and demanding a Palestinian state? Could it be that they witnessed some of the riots all over the nation where there's a rebellion rebellion against law enforcement, where the law enforcement, based on our own laws, are simply trying to remove the illegal invaders that were allowed to come in free flow under the Biden administration? Is it possible that as a result of that, this man was emboldened to drive across the nation, to get out of his vehicle with an AK-47 or some weapon similar to that, and walk down the sidewalk? They've got video footage. Walking down the sidewalk, walking into the building, openly carrying that weapon. No one said anything. No one did anything. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it's as a result of witnessing the anarchy that is found in the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party today. I believe that's the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental nutshell of it. Because we've witnessed today where Tulsi Gabbard, the head of the DNI, has uncovered and producing hundreds and ultimately thousands of documents that will prove that there was an undermining, that is, of Donald J. Trump and his campaign and all of his first tenure of 4 years in office, this 45th president, hampering him, hamstringing him, handcuffing him, preventing him from carrying out what God had called him to do. And it was because the deep state, ladies and gentlemen, that this had taken place. And I believe we're witnessing today, and I pray that I'm wrong, but I believe that we're going to witness an increase in these riots, the demonstrations against law enforcement as a result of the leadership, i.e. the Democratic Party, that's setting the pace, setting the standard for anarchy. The Democratic Party today, ladies and gentlemen, in my most humble opinion, you can call in and check me if you think I'm wrong, but I believe they are the promulgating cause of what we see with the spreading of anarchy in our nation. Anarchy is seen in our cities. Anarchy is seen in our states. Anarchy is seen in the socialist, Marxist, communist leadership of the Democratic Party, openly challenging state law, federal law, law enforcement agents, ICE agents being threatened, ICE agents being spit on, ICE agents having rocks thrown at them. And now the leadership of the Democratic Party demanding that the ICE agents take their mask off and identify themselves. So for what? Listen, Democratic Party didn't have any problem during the apex of COVID of demanding that everybody wear a mask. And in fact, even with our federal laws never having been changed, that says, in the federal law, by the way, it's illegal to walk into a bank with a mask on. And yet that was demanded during COVID. And now with ICE agents carrying out their legal constitutional responsibility, all of a sudden Karen Bass and others across America, including everyone, that is ALL, of the Democratic leadership, demanding that the ICE agents stand down, demanding that they not enforce the law, demanding that they allow the illegal invaders to remain in America to continue to carry out the dubious task, if you please, of what they're doing, rape, robbery, mayhem in our nation. I am amazed, saddened, and surprised. I believe Jim's on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
I'm doing well. Advocating for anarchy is a propaganda tool that's been used for quite a long time. The Democrats excel at it, and they've got the media complicit with them. I know that there's multitudes of scripture in the Psalms and Proverbs and throughout the Bible about how God dislikes sowers of dissent. And these individuals that are doing that, they're doing exactly that. They are sowing dissent and stirring up the masses, and they should be held culpable for those actions. You know, they need to be censured on the House floor. To, hey, you got to tone this down. This is unacceptable language. You know me. You know I'm a big proponent for the First and the Second Amendment. But even though you have the right to say those things, it doesn't mean that you have the right to not suffer the consequence of your speech.
Absolutely. And Jim, you touched on that. I'm looking at a text in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. It says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." And that's what we see. I believe that would summarize what we see taking place with the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. Rebellion, that means disobedience, is as the sin of witchcraft. That's talking about demonic activity. And we're witnessing today, how can you explain somebody like, what is it, Van Hollen, one of the key leaders in the Democratic Party, that flew to Venezuela, sat down and had a drink with the one that had been deported because of his being an illegal and the illegal activities that he had done, siding with that. It is siding with the enemy. It is siding against America, and I don't think there's any other term that could be used other than anarchy that would more readily describe what is taking place. So my question, Jim, and I know there's not a simple answer, my question is, what should we do? What should how should the law be carried out that would stop the anarchy? What's going to stop it? How will it be stopped? Because the mindset is, with Karen Bass and others, that it's my freedom of speech. I can go out and march with the demonstrators. I can march with the illegals. I can march and challenge our laws. I can march and challenge the governmental agencies and allow us to spit on them, throw rocks at them, and hold their hands up. What can we expect as a nation if this fomenting of anarchy is not quelled?
You can expect lawlessness. The law needs to be equally applied regardless of race, religion, wealth, status, regardless. Justice is represented in the United States. The woman's holding a sword in one hand and a balance of scales in the other hand, and she's blindfolded. And that's the physical representation of justice is balanced. The execution of that justice is swift, and that it is blind. And the Bible tells us that judges are to be that way. They're not to favor the poor. They're not to favor the rich. So if you've got a two-tier justice system, you will have individuals that will disregard the law because they think they're above the law. And one of the things from reading scripture is you gain wisdom, you gain discernment.
Yes.
You open your eyes and you know the difference between right and wrong without being told. So any law of any just nation, in particular the United States, based on God's laws there, if you follow the biblical scripture, you're not going to break laws. These individuals should suffer the consequence of their action and suffer the consequence of their speech. I have no problem with lawful assembly and them saying or protesting for what they feel their rights are, but whenever it crosses that line into unlawful assembly and you are fomenting anarchy or dissension or outright riots there, you cross the line and you should be punished according to that law to the fullest extent there. And that's the only way you're going to stop this.
Absolutely. When you see police cars being bombed and burned, when you see rocks being thrown, smashing the windshields and the windows of the cruisers and the vans that the ICE agents are using, when you see them spitting on an ICE agent, when you see them bludgeoning an ICE agent, when you see the shooting at the Border Patrol or an ICE agent, you understand that that is being watched by the world. And as a result of that, some of these as Senator John Kennedy called, some of these idiots see that, and as a result of that, my words now, not his, see that, and they want to mimic that and follow that because that's the end thing to do. And that anarchy is taking place from the judicial standpoint by having, I believe, 480-plus suits against Donald Trump. I'm looking at an article that I must touch on and ask your take on it. Judge effectively grants abortion giant constitutional rights to receive tax money. A federal judge has concluded, apparently, that the abortion industry, giant Planned Parenthood, has a constitutional right to have federal tax dollars. the leftist judge chosen for her lifetime appointment for abortion-promoting Barack Obama has temporarily blocked the administration, President Trump, from stopping the flow of tax money through Medicaid to the abortionist. And I could go on with the article. The bottom line is, as you recall, the big, beautiful bill, House had approved that bill, the wording of it, by cutting off all funding for Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood's been getting from the federal government, our tax money, some $700 million a year, and they cut that out completely. When that document, the big, beautiful bill, 942 pages, got to the Senate canceled that portion of it and allowed the elimination of tax money to Planned Parenthood just for the next 1 year. And now a federal judge has said, no. The Constitution gives the Planned Parenthood the right to get tax money. Now, that is anarchy in relationship to what the Democrats are leading, to say that we don't pay attention to the Constitution. We're going to say that they have a right to get the money to continue to murder human beings in the mother's womb. What say you?
Well, this judge got his constitutional law paper out of a Cracker Jack box, is what I say. There's nowhere written in the Constitution that gives money away to any organization there. The only thing that I know of that's in the Constitution is the protection of the states or borders, the Postal Service, and the road, you know, the means for interstate and interstate commerce. Those are things like roads, bridges, postal, protection of borders. I don't know where Planned Parenthood even falls in any of that, because this organization didn't exist and is completely outside of the Constitution. This is legislation by adjudication by a judge that's made his mind up, and he has no right. He's going to stand in front of that throne, and he's going to have to explain to the big man upstairs that why he thought that it was okay to do this someday. And I pray that this judge figures it out before then, because he don't need that one on the list. We all carry them, but man, that's not one.
Absolutely. And one of the things we have found is so many of the judges, it's what I call judge shopping, is where the left, the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party, anything they file suit against President Trump on to block him, stop him, handcuff him with what he's doing, they've done judge shopping, and it's the certain number of judges that they've used across the nation, all of them in blue cities and blue states, i.e. the Democrats that have done that. And I find it egregious that Chief Justice John Roberts hadn't simply said, you can't do that. Now, he tried to a limited extent to say no to the judges that are doing that, but these circuit judges have no right, no authority over the Oval Office. But yet that is taking place, and it's continuing to take place. And then each one of those cases, by the way, most people don't think of this, we're spending hundreds of millions of tax dollars for the Oval Office to defend what they're doing, which is constitutional, to fight against these judges that are filing case after case after case to stop it. And even further than that, talking about anarchy and what we see happening, I'm looking at a headline. I'll ask you this question and let you go. Pastor fired when he resists orders to lie about co-workers' gender. A Christian pastor in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, has been fired from his post as a local public library when he resisted an order to lie about a co-worker's gender. The issue was that a pastor at Sivendale Baptist Church was dismissed when he declined to address a woman as he. The firing occurred despite growing legal precedents supporting the free speech rights of those who say they cannot be forced to utter language that they believe is wrong. The bottom line is, it's a five-page article, Jim. The bottom line is, pastor working in a bivocational job in a library, and somebody comes in, it's a woman that wants to be addressed as a man, and he was told by his superiors that you must use the pronoun that they insist on using. He refused to do so, and he's summarily fired as a result of it. That is anarchy, what I call spiritual anarchy, trying to overthrow God's word and the morals, ethics, and the values. We're witnessing spiritual anarchy where we see morals, ethics, and values being trashed in America today, and it is being trashed as pushed pushed by the Marxist leadership and the Democratic Party. What say you?
I say that everybody needs to take that pastor's stance there. If more people were stepping forward with what is right and what is moral, three-quarters of this garbage that's going on today wouldn't be happening there, because there wouldn't be anybody backing these frivolous lawsuits. There wouldn't be anybody backing these organizations that are bringing this, you know, trying to normalize this mental aberration. I personally am not going to support somebody's delusion that they think that there's somebody else there. God designed genetics and DNA. You were born a woman. You're a woman till the day you take your last breath. If you're a man, same thing. Nothing you can do in between there.
What was it Sarah Palin said a number of years ago? You put lipstick on a pig and it's still a pig.
Yes, sir.
You can put a dress on a man, he's still a man. One final footnote that I must ask, because I wanted to cover this in the broadcast today. I'm looking at the headline. It says, this is part of what I call anarchy, and it's because the mob groups are seeing this. They're having mob mentality in the streets. White woman viciously pummeled by Cincinnati mob revealed maddening detail in the wake of the brutal attack. And it goes on to talk about, and it's an interview with Vivek Ramaswamy that's running for governor of Ohio. And he made some statements in relationship to this. I believe this is part and parcel of what we see as anarchy, where there's the mindset that we can go out and have a racial mob attacking another race in the streets, notwithstanding the fact that it took quite some time for the law enforcement to even get there, and questionable whether or not there'll be anybody held responsible for that. What say you? What's the answer? How should we as Christians and conservatives view something like this?
I read that very same article. It was a couple, and they were at an event in Cincinnati, and they were brutally attacked, and it was caught on film. I think the most telling statement of that entire article was that not one representative from the government, mm-hmm. from the city, or from mm-hmm. the police department, other than a single detective, has asked those two individuals what occurred. Yet, earlier, you alluded to Van Hollen, who's a senator from Maryland, who goes to Ecuador or wherever that prison's
Venezuela.
At. Honduras.
Venezuela. Honduras.
No,
mm-hmm.
not Venezuela. It's Honduras. It's a Central South American country, and then goes down there to advocate for somebody that came into our country illegally. Yet here you have a crime that's committed on innocent individuals that were attending a function on a river walk.
Yes.
And they were targeted.
Yes. Jim, our time is up, but thank you so much for your insight and for your input today. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next